the house and I had to attend to that. Are we correcting now, Lwazi, in terms of the members?
Good morning, Chair.
Mr. Lwazi?
Good morning, Chair. Am I audible? Good morning,
Okay, I'm
Chairperson.
speaking alone.
We can hear you, Lwazi, but it seems the chair can't hear you.
Sure.
Lwazi?
Good morning, Chair.
Yes, are we correcting?
Not yet, Chair.
Okay, let me check for the members then, so that we can start. Is the commission in? Members of the commission, it's CEO.
Yes, Chair, we do have a delegation from the Commission, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you so much. Let me look for the members, then I will come back to you. Are we fine now?
Good morning, Chair. We are fine now, Chair.
Thank you, Lazi.
Recording in
We are
progress.
also fine, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. At least you are being chaired by a person, not a bot. So may I switch off my video now? Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, the chairperson of the commission and its mem com and other commissioners, the management, and all those that are part of our meeting this morning. Good morning. We have invited CGE to be with us this morning as part of our program. This quarter. We are doing that because this commission is one of the institutions listed in the Constitution as the institutions that are supporting our constitutional democracy. And its mandate is to promote and protect gender equality in government, civil society, and the private sector. How does then that affect us as the portfolio committee? For several years, especially in the 2018 and 2019 financial year, the commission received several complaints about gender-based violence with victims often left without places of protection and shelter. In giving effect to this mandate, the CGE investigated the state of shelters in South Africa, the key role player of government in assisting with properties that can be used as centers and shelters for protecting victims of GBV is none other the department that we are oversighting, which is the Department of Public Works and the Infrastructure. As we all know, it is the custodian of government properties. We have received reports of our own as the portfolio committee from the department. The one from the commission talking about its investigation, but also the department saying, I think, especially in the previous minister, saying that it is donating so many properties to be safe homes to DSD. It started by saying 54 buildings that have been identified, and the department ended by saying that it then needs provinces to identify at least two properties that may be utilized as centers or safe homes for GBV. We have then invited then the commission to hear from it. How is the department complying with the investigation and the recommendation that the commission's made about the properties that may be utilized for centers of protection or safe homes for GBV victims? And as the portfolio committee that is playing oversight role on the department, it's something that we are very much interested in, because we were informed that the department has identified properties. Is the department complying with what the CGE said? Are the properties that were set to going to be donated to DSD, did that happen? Are we having safe homes that are not solely built by the communities in which those victims go to? Are we having properties that the department is providing as the custodian of all the government properties? That's the questions that we would ask the department after we have heard from the this commission how their investigation came out, what are their recommendations, and how is the department working with those recommendations from the commission. With those few words, I am welcoming you all, chairperson of the commission and the commissioners, the management, and all those that are part of our meeting this morning. Lwazi, do we have any apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Chairperson, I did receive an apology from Honorable Tring, who will join later due to traveling. I see Honorable Mchobo is in the meeting. She had also stated that she will attend later. And Honorable Van Staden sent also an apology, Chairperson. Those are the only apologies. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lwazi, for those apologies, hoping that they will be appearing in our minutes. I now invite the leader of the delegation of the commission, and we would also like that the leader of the delegation also introduce the entire delegation. Over to you. Thank you so much.
Unmute, please.
Yes, we can't hear a word, Chair.
Oh, sorry, I thought I'd unmuted. Sorry
Okay.
about that. Good
Understood.
morning, honorable members. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Chairperson. As you said, I am the leader of the delegation. Our delegation is not big today because of other work commitments by other commissioners. So we are represented here today by myself as the leader of the delegation and another commissioner, Commissioner Oharang Ngoma-Diseko. We are leading our head of institution, acting head, albeit Dr. Dennis Matotoka, who will be taking us through the report. Just to say thank you for this opportunity. We really would like to have more of such opportunities where we give you feedback about some of the work that we're doing, the challenges that we are meeting from government departments and civil society and everyone else. So this opportunity is coming in at a very opportune time, and we're hoping to have more in future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Advocate. I'm then not sure who is going to be presenting. Hoping that Lwazi, you have assisted in ensuring that the person who will be presenting the document has hosting rights.
Okay, sorry about that, Chair. The person who will be presenting is Dr. Dennis Matotoka, our acting CEO. So I'm hoping he will be given access to beam our presentation. Thank you.
Good
Thank
morning, Chair. I already gave Mr. Matokota the rights.
you. Talk. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We invite you now, Acting CEO, Dr. Matotoka.
Thank you so much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, Chairperson of the Commission for Gender Equalities, Commissioner Ngoma-Diseko, and colleagues from the CGE that are here with me. Just pardon me, Chairperson, I'm trying to share the presentation. Let me see quickly. Chairperson, just want to check if you can see my screen.
Yes, the screen is visible to us.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation that I'm about to deliver, you briefly touched on it, but what I need to add is that in terms of our investigations, these investigations into shelters form part of systemic investigations. It's an investigation that is ongoing, and for a number of years, we had to engage the relevant departments so that we can get to the bottom of what is the issue when it comes to shelters in the country. We probed a number of issues in terms of this systemic investigation, from the funding model that is utilized by the Department of Social Development, to the state of shelters, whether they are equipped enough to cater for the needs and interest of survivors that are admitted in the facilities. We looked at the entry requirements that they are there with the Department of Social Development when they admit mothers, for example, with children who are older than 12 years and less, and so forth. We've also taken steps, Honorable Chairperson, to also do our own inspection in locos of various shelters that exist in the country to really ascertain whether, amongst others, there are security measures in place to ensure the safety of those that are admitted at the shelters. And we did that, Chairperson, because we understood that the shelters in the in South Africa play a critical role in ensuring, most importantly, that the right to dignity of survivors is protected, but most importantly also that access to justice is realized. I'm saying so because we know that most of the persons that are admitted to these shelters, some of them are as a result of gender-based violence and femicide, some of them are undergoing trial, they are witnesses, and if we don't have safe places for them, they end up being victimized because of the incriminating evidence that they may be presenting before court. So we felt as the CGE that it's important that shelters in South Africa be prioritized and ensure that they are safe and are accommodating of the needs of every person who's admitted there. So I wanted to give that background as to why we did that, because it's an area that once we started our first investigation around 2018, 2019, We called the Department of Social Development, we called the HODs from all provinces to come and account on the issues of shelters in provinces. And we were able to at least map a way forward. And the understanding was that the way forward would mean not only bring the Department of Social Development, but there are other institutions that are critically playing a role in ensuring the safe, unimpeachable shelters in the country. So we included, amongst others, the Department of Health, South African Police Service, Department of Public Works, so that because we understood that these institutions as well play a critical role in supporting the cause of having safe shelters in the country. Now, by way of background, I'll give you the background, which I've just did, the introduction, the developments, and the conclusions thereafter. Chairperson, as you correctly pointed out, we are an independent Chapter 9 institution that has been established in terms of Section 187 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. And our empowering provision is the Commission for Gender Equality Act that gives the CGE the power to monitor, evaluate policies, practices of organs of state at all levels, statutory bodies, functionaries, public bodies and authorities and private businesses, enterprises and institutions to promote gender equality and make recommendations that the CGE deems necessary. So in executing this mandate, Chairperson, in as far as this discourse is concerned, that is exactly what we're trying to do. We have identified that there are practices that are coming out of the shelters that warrants the CGE to probe the existing gaps for us to make recommendations to make sure that those that are decision makers are able to implement the recommendations of the Commission for Gender Equality. Now, the Commission conducted, in line with its mandate in terms of its annual performance plan, the systemic investigations into the state of shelters in South Africa. This commenced in 2018-2019 financial year, and this follows the receipt of complaints from victims of gender-based violence and femicide. The victims utilized the services offered by various shelters and experienced secondary victimization during their stay at the shelters. Now, if I can just talk about some of these complaints, Chairperson, it's first and foremost, you are admitted at shelters. These are some of the complaints. When they're admitted at shelters, the house mothers, first and foremost, they are not equipped enough to deal with survivors that are admitted to them. Some of the complainants highlighted that when they're at the shelters, the house mothers even gossip about the trauma that some of these victims are subjected to. You do find that also the secondary victimization of the survivors is taking place at the shelter level as well. The safety from security personnel is not really adequate, wherein you have survivors where the perpetrators are able to jump the premises and attack them, and in some instances really kill the survivors as well. The unfair discriminatory practices wherein the, some of them are denied sanitary pads. They have to beg for sanitary pads. It's one of those issues that were reported to us in 2018, 2019. The lack of adequate spacing of shelters, it was also something that was highlighted by the survivors, wherein they were indicating that they are only admitted there for only 48 hours and thereafter, because they don't have adequate space, they are asked to leave the premises and allow those that are immediately at danger to be admitted at the shelters and so forth, which was very problematic because, and I think the Department of Social Development clearly pointed it out that they need to have a reintegration process wherein there are interviews between social workers and the victims or survivors in this instance to just really prepare them to deal with the outside world. And at times it takes a little bit longer than anticipated. So one of the challenges was that you'd be there at the shelter for about 6 months, and then after six months you are asked to leave the premises and go back to society. And in some instances, you're not even ready, you're not even capacitated to deal with the outside world following the challenges that you've experienced in terms of GBV. Some of the challenges that were reported were that some of the trainings that the survivors get at the shelters, they're not even accredited, you know. I must admit that in this regard, the social development did well by saying we'll have suing programs that will be introduced just to capacitate some of the survivors that are there. But however, these trainings, they're not even accredited by CETA or any other institution. So it, at the end of the day, it does not assist the complainants in a way. So and at a high level, Chairperson, those are the issues that were brought to our attention. But inadequate spacing was one of the critical areas that was raised with us, wherein you don't have enough beds in the shelters, you don't have enough space for a number of persons who want to be admitted there. And we saw the spike of increase of women in particular during the COVID-19 period, wherein the complaints suggested that there are not enough beds, there are not enough shelters to capacitate or rather to accommodate most of the survivors during the COVID-19 period. So it was from that premise, Chairperson, that we felt as the CGE, this is an issue that we need to probe further and hold those who are in decision-making positions accountable to provide the necessary shelters. Now, we started this investigation 2018-2019, 2019-2020, 2021-2022 financial year. Why we did that in multiple years? Because we understood that the achievement of some of the recommendations put forward for all these institutions, including the Department of Public Works, it's a journey. One area that was highlighted mostly by all entities was the lack of funding or budget to action some of the recommendations that the commissioner have put forward. For example, when you look at provinces like the Northwest and the Eastern Cape and the Limpopo, they only had two shelters. And you look at the overall population that they had to accommodate, it definitely tells us the shelters are not enough to cover that. But because of lack of budgets, that is an area that most of these entities have indicated to us that they understand the importance. However, Treasury has not provided enough budget for them in that regard. Now, the Department of Public Works was one of those entities that appeared. It appeared firstly in the 2019 December, and was allowed to respond to a questionnaire that sought to determine its role and contribution associated with safe places in South Africa, amongst others. Now, Chairperson, before we even go further regarding its role towards the shelters, I sat in the hearing with the Department of Public Works, and we have raised issues with the department itself. This is so because if you are going to play an important role of spearheading transformation, whether it's through shelters or through other areas of the law, you as an entity ought to be transformed yourself. You need to have adequate policies in place. You need to have adequate programs in place to ensure that when you start to engage with the department, or rather the commission on issues of transformation, you are coming here with your hands being clean, so to say. So we know that first and foremost, we had challenges with the Department of Public Works. There were complaints around sexual harassment that I need to also highlight here several years back, particularly involving interns, in some instances involving staff members. And we felt at the time that perhaps maybe even the department itself needs to have those policies in place, particularly on sexual harassment. And we have recommended that they should establish that sexual harassment policy, and further to that, to do sexual harassment campaigns or workshops with the staff members from top leadership positions and all the way to the lower ranking positions within the department. So to say, Chairperson, when you go and now deal with the shelters, when we advocate that even the shelters themselves, they need to have regulatory systems in place to regulate sexual harassment, the Department of Public Works would understand better because they themselves know and understand the importance around that. So we've raised this during the hearing with the Department of Public Works, and they've committed there to review the policy and do the necessary awareness with the staff members and so forth. What I need to check is the recent update thus far as to whether this year they were able to do that. But I know that in previous years, one of the limitations was because we were working remotely, they were not able to do that in time. But in as far as the policy is concerned, at the time they were able to review it, but that was before 2022. We do know, Chairperson, that post-2022 or as of 2022, we have a new code that deals with harassment in the workplace. It will be important also that that the department now revisits the revised policy to amend it now to be aligned with the 2022 code that deals with harassment, bullying, and victimization in the workplace. So at the high level, I would say it's very important that before we even look at the role of the department, in as far as the shelters is concerned, the department itself needs to have systems and controls in place to deal with discriminatory practices, because that is some of the things that we are raising as the CGE with the public sector to ensure that they create an enabling environment for all persons in the workplace. Now, in as far as the shelters are concerned, Chairperson, we've made the following recommendations to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Particularly the recommendations center around the allocation of buildings to shelters. And because this was as a result of the understanding that we do not have adequate shelters in the country. There are people who have to travel about 300 Ks or so just to get accommodation for shelters. So one of the things that we really said was that there must be an allocation of buildings to shelters as part of supporting the shelters in South Africa. But in addition to that, we said the department was to submit a comprehensive and final report to the commission at the end of March 2020 regarding the buildings that can be allocated for the purposes of shelters in the country. The DG did appear before us and was also requested to liaise with provincial heads of departments and make properties available for the program of establishing and resourcing shelters. The third recommendation was that the department was to provide a list of the type of buildings to be allocated for shelter purposes. Now, in as far as this aspect is concerned, honorable members and chairperson, we were looking at shelters that also cater for the needs of persons with disabilities. And we felt that it's very much important, chairperson, because disability, it's one of the prohibited grounds that are prohibited in terms of the constitution. And at times we have direct discrimination, but at times we even have this indirect discrimination wherein the buildings themselves do not provide reasonable accommodation to persons with disabilities. So, and I'm just looking at a number of areas. So if you have, for example, those that are physically enabled, you do find that they are not even able to use the stairs, right? If there are no ramps, and in particular buildings. And we said to the department, look for buildings that also cater for the needs of persons with disabilities. If they are not, please do the necessary renovations that those, for example, are using wheelchairs will not struggle to access those facilities. So for us, it's not just about showing us a building on the fourth floor or a building and say, this is the one that will be allocated to shelters. You need to go beyond that, renovate it in such a way that those that are, for example, are with disabilities are able to accommodate that. And we understand that that is from an infrastructure point of view. But when it comes to the actual services within the shelter, we are saying social development also needs to consider various forms of disabilities that come in the workplace. So the issues around, of course, needs to be clearly outlined, and then processes need to be defined so that those that are going to be house mothers would be able to communicate freely through sign language with the survivors that are admitted there. But in as far as the Department of Public Works is concerned, our request was that don't just allocate shelters, but there must be shelters that are providing reasonable accommodation also to persons with disabilities. Now, during 2021-2022, the Department of Public Works reported the following progress to the CG in line with the above recommendations. In respect of the recommendation that the department must engage the provincial heads of departments to make properties available, it was indicated that the provincial heads of departments were not communicated to by the DG. The reason was because that the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure held a virtual meeting with the provincial MECs and HODs of Social Development and Public Works to make properties available for the program on the 1st of June 2020. The minutes of that meeting, Chairperson, were shared with us, and we were satisfied that indeed that meeting did take place and the instructions were given accordingly. Why we do that, Chairperson? We insist to really test each and every process. We don't want to just accept by word of mouth that this is the reason why we're not able to do certain things. But if you give us an alternative to say, I was not able to do this because of this other process that was commenced by a minister, we welcome that. And when the minutes were shared with us, we were indeed comfortable that there is that intentional commitment by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to implement the recommendations. And most importantly, we appreciated the fact that they, as the department, appreciated the importance of having and supporting shelters in South Africa. In as far as the second recommendation was that the department was to provide a list of buildings to be allocated for shelters. The department, indeed, Chairperson, in your opening, you're correct that they provided to us the 54 buildings in the provinces that they have identified and said they are suitable for shelters. Six properties were in Gauteng, six were in the Western Cape that were renovated, and the lease agreements of the properties were being finalized at the time. The department stated that the properties in the following provinces were still inspected and awaiting the recommendations by the Department of Social Development. This was in Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Free State as well. And according to the Department of Public Works, due to financial constraints, the minister proposed that for the 2020-2021 financial year, two properties per province were to be identified and renovated in preparation for being handed over to the Department of Social Development. And the provincial social development departments were included as part of the project for implementation purposes. Now, under 2022-2023 financial year, the Commission requested a progress report thus far with the Department of Public Works and on the funding, particularly of shelters in different provinces. We got to understand that the issue of financial constraints, for example, in Limpopo, to develop or have additional shelters was an area that was emphasized by the department. And some properties that were identified by the Department of Public Works to be used as shelters were renovated to be handed over to the Department of Social Development as per the Commission's recommendation. That is the feedback that we were given. And site inspections were conducted and concluded in respect of all provinces. However, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure was awaiting DSD's response to confirm which properties are preferred and suit DSD's shelter requirements. So this is now a collaborative process, as we have indicated, that the Department of Public Works can indicate, but the social development also, as well as the CG, they need to come in and say, having inspected the shelters that are being identified, we do think and support that they are suitable for accommodating survivors of gender-based violence in such facilities. If not, then we request the department to reconsider, because the idea, Chairperson, is about promoting the human rights in terms of the spaces and the facilities that we provide as an institution. There was a meeting that was held with the Department of Public Works Minister to meet with the DSD Minister. This was also to facilitate the issue of suitability of identified buildings and so forth. However, the DSD Minister postponed the meeting due to their unavailability to hand over the inspected properties. The delay is on the part of the social development and not the public works. So in our view, in this regard, there was a movement that was made by the Department of Public Works. However, it was only from the DSD that they were not able to have time to engage in that regard. As such, the DSD is delaying the final process of properties being renovated and handed over. Properties were identified and inspected in KwaZulu-Natal, Richards Bay, in the Free State. We had one in Klopfontein, Krogstad, Mpumalanga. There were also two that were identified, Limpopo as well. There were three that were identified, in Marble Hall, in your Palaboras, and Grobrasdal, one in Northern Cape, two in Blackley West in the Northern Cape. The Northwest, they've also identified the Kolingli and Raneke, Oakley, Stilfontein, Christiana, and Forchville. Eastern Cape, the Idunjwa, Butterworth, Lusikisiki, Mtata, and others were inspected by the Department of Public Works, as well as in the Western Cape and Gauteng as well. So what is reflecting there is just the number of shelters that were identified and inspected by the Department of Public Works. What we need to understand now is that collaborative process with the Department of Social Development, so that these identified ones, if they are suitable, then the department can then start the process of handing them over to the Department of Social Development so that they can be used for accommodating survivors of gender-based violence. And that in terms of developments, Chairperson, the department, we can safely say they partially complied with some of the recommendations of the CGE. The department reported that the national DSD identified properties and some are being renovated. The renovation of the properties is complete and the properties are ready for the formal handover. The positive effects of the full compliance, Chairperson, is that the department would be executing to a limited extent its constitutional mandate, and would the commission can report to Parliament that the Department of Public Works has complied in that regard. And complying with the recommendations made by the CG essentially means that there's a progressive realization of the rights contained in the Bill of Rights. That is your right to dignity and the right to equality amongst others. And further to that, the full compliance would also mean that the department contributes positively to the capping of the high rate of gender-based violence and femicide within the country by providing buildings to be utilized as shelters. The department also receives a suitable budget whenever they request same to be further establishment and renovations of the shelters in the country. So they're in a best place, Chairperson, in our view, to really provide more shelters, more buildings rather, that can be utilized for the purposes of shelters in the country. The other developments that we can report thus far is that the Department of Public Works also played a key role in relation to the following departments following the systemic investigation. Free State Department of Social Development, Limpopo Social Development, and Northern Cape Social Development. The Department of Public Works interventions involving DSDs of the above provinces is highlighted in the below slides. After a lengthy process to secure a building for the establishment of a shelter, I think this one, it was in the Northern Cape, a house was allocated by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in Karib Dam in February 2022. The Karib Dam house allocated placed the Free State Department of Social Development in a difficult position as the financial year was ending. And the Free State Social Development had not earmarked Karib Dam as the targeted area for the intervention of a functional shelter. The Free State DSD confirmed that the house in Karib Dam would be used as a community service center to implement social behavior and change programs. The shelter earmarked for this district will be in Jacobsdal. The Free State DSD further confirmed that the National Department of Social Development was informed of the decision taken by the management collectively. The Karib Dam was not initially identified by the Free State DSD, but was imposed by the convenience of donation of the house by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Prior to the publication of this our report, the commission became aware of a shelter also established through the Koffiefontein through the media. This was done by the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, and the shelter is allocated in the Karib district. The media release confirmed that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure had handed over the refurbished building Free State Department of Social Development to assist in providing a safe harbor for victims of gender-based violence. This information, however, Chairperson, was not provided to us in writing by the Social Development. It's something that we observed through the media reports, but we understood that it's as part of the process that has been embarked on by the Department of Social Development and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Therefore, we commend the Free State Social Development for its joint efforts with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in the establishment of a shelter in the Karib district. In as far as the Limpopo department is concerned, the Limpopo DSD had two shelters that was expected to provide accommodation to about 5 million population. And as I've indicated, there was a dire need to have an additional premise of shelter so that you can cover areas that are almost close to the borders, very far from the centralized areas in Polokwane, and we've engaged the department accordingly. Now, the commission recommended that the Limpopo DSD submit clear plans to establish new shelters. I must indicate that one of the things that the social development raised here was the inadequate budget. And they have, however, indicated that they have partnered with the Limpopo Department of Public Works, Road and Infrastructure to identify unused state properties. In progress reported, 5 buildings were identified and construction was expected to start between March 2022 and March 2023. Currently, there is no indication from the Limpopo DSD that the intended construction has started and will start timeously. Therefore, the Limpopo DSD still does not have enough shelters to cater for its population. So there's then that gap now, because we have said and understood that both the Department of DSD and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure will collaborate in this one by identifying the relevant structures that can be turned into the shelters. And when the DG actually came, he did express that he knows that there are state properties that are unused in the province, but so far there hasn't been that adequate movement on both entities to really make sure that by March 2023 those unused state properties are turned into shelters in the country. Now, in as far as the Northern Cape is concerned, the Northern Cape Social Development reported then that, despite efforts by the National Department of Social Development to establish a shelter in Namakwa district, which includes allocation of about 700,000 for the establishment of such shelter. The Northern Cape Department of Social Development failed to establish a shelter. The challenge cited by the Northern Cape DSD is that it does not have buildings for utilizing as shelters. Therefore, it must either rely on the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure as the custodian of public buildings to allocate buildings to it, or rely on other private entities willing to establish sectors. So we are still struggling in as far as that issue is concerned at the time. However, on the 29th September 2023, the progress that was submitted was that the DSD in Northern Cape finally opened a shelter in Namakwa in Springbok, and the CG was invited to its opening. The CGE in Northern Cape was not able to attend to the opening due to the prior commitments, but the indication was that the shelter was established. As part of the conclusion, the commission knows that there is progress in terms of the Department of Public Works on its implementation of the commission's recommendations. However, the department must continue to actively engage with the other role players to ensure full compliance with the commission's recommendations. Thus far, Chairperson, the commitment is very much there. As I've indicated, when you look at provinces like Limpopo, the commitment is there, plans are there, but they are not being actioned. We have various unused buildings that the department itself has identified, but we are not able to move in terms of renovating those relevant structures so that they can accommodate the survivors of gender-based violence and femicide. So the challenge is that the buildings have been identified, but there hasn't been adequate movement of really turning more unused state buildings into shelters in the country. Not only just shelters or buildings, but creating an environment where, in irrespective of your disability, you will be accommodated in such facilities. So this is where we are with the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Thank you, Chairperson. That brings me to the end of the presentation.
Thank you, Acting CEO Dr. Matotoka, for this presentation, which is very clear, and it is answering some of the questions that we had as the Portfolio Committee. I now invite honorable members of the Portfolio Committee to interact with this report. So far, I can see the hand of Honorable Sihlolo, followed by Honorable Siwisa. In that order, honorable members.
Chairperson, allow me to extend my gratitude to the Commission and to the Acting CEO for the presentation. I've made a couple of notes here, but I think, having had the pleasure of conducting oversight at one of the shelters in the Northwest, in Freiburg in particular, I think the Dr. Mototoka highlighted the challenges that exist within these shelters quite comprehensively. Being married to a detective who works in the FCS unit myself, I understand and recognize the desperate need for these shelters, Chair. The condition in terms of the building itself, of some of the shelter that I visited in particular, was very disheartening. You enter a building where the doors are not working, the kitchen is in a mess, and particularly the attitude of those who are supposed to be a safe haven for these particular victims of this heinous crime. Chair, the Department of Public Works is a coordinating department. And I recognize that on many instances, on many accounts in this particular committee, we have spoken, and I personally have advocated, as well as many other colleagues here, for the need to be able to take control of abandoned DPWI buildings. It is not acceptable to have a situation where there are no adequate shelters across the country, meaning that people have to travel hundreds of kilometers, when we know that most of them cannot even afford to do so. Whilst welcoming the presentation, I just need to check in terms of the comprehensive report that the commission was due to receive from DPWI back in March 2020, whether that particular comprehensive report or final report was actually submitted, and if we can have access to it, granted that this may have been done already, and you will excuse my ignorance in that respect, chairs, you know that I joined the committee only in April. So if I could be furnished with that particular report, I would be most thankful, so that we can also then conduct oversight over the report and be able to also then get our colleagues at provincial and local levels to also be able to provide that particular oversight as per that particular report. I also just want to ask the commission, I know that on slide 11, they had highlighted there on the Northwest, and they included Forshville or Forvo, however you want to pronounce it. And I just want to check whether that falls in Northwest or whether that falls in Gauteng. Because as far as I know, Carltonville and Forvo were demarcated into Gauteng a few years ago. You would remember that there were quite a number of protest actions in that particular part of Gauteng. So I just want to get that confirmation and clarity from the commission. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sikhlalo. Honorable Siwisa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the commissioners. And I also like to say thank you for the presentation. I think it's in detail, and Chair, I think now we are getting a light as to where we are stuck when we come to actually shelters. Chair, I have a few comments or concerns that I need to raise, which I think this is the correct commission, and it's we are privileged and honored that the Commission of Gender Equality is here. I want to check, has the issue of security at shelters been dealt with? Because we know of cases whereby victims would go in, they'll be sheltered, but the perpetrator would get access, still get access to that. And this the issue of they call them mothers or guardians or those people that are working at the shelters. That was also one of my concerns, to say some of these people, I don't know if they do understand what victims go through. I don't want to say women, because they are also children and everybody else, what victims go through, and then they get secondary victimization. And I hope that the department, I wish that the Department of Social Development can give us answers based on that, because most of these issues are actually directed to them. There's an issue, Chair, that I think I must bring to the attention of the CGE, the issue of teenage mothers that are being abused by their parents, emotionally, some of them physically, to such an extent. Before I came to Parliament, I know I dealt with one case where the child actually ran away with the baby because of the treatment that she got due to falling pregnant when she was young, being denied food, being denied whatever that is due to her, to such an extent that I managed to get some of the family members in, and they took the child in, removed the child from there without the assistance. I want to check with the CGE, how do we deal with issues of teenage mothers that are being abused, because they've got nowhere to go. They've got no one to report to. There's nobody who's actually protecting them due to what they go through in their families, just because of they fell pregnant as teenagers and then they become subjected. Is there anything that the CGE is able to do or guide us as to what needs to be done to assist these teenage mothers for them to be able to finish school and live in an environment? Is there a possibility that maybe a shelter for teenage mothers or a desk for teenage mothers where they can report how they are being treated? That's one of my concerns that are out there. And then the other one is from the shelters that are there, because you'd find that a mother is a victim and then she's got three or four kids. Are there shelters that are family-based where the mother can actually stay with her kids and be comfortable without her kids having to run away and leave the kids behind or being threatened that if you go away, I'm going to leave. You can't live with my kids and everything. Are there shelters to accommodate shelters that are family-based? I think for now, those are the only issues that I have, Chair, that maybe I can be assisted with those ones. But I would really have appreciated, Chair, at some point, because these shelters fall under DPWI, maybe at some point the DSD must come in and explain to us to say, look here, we avail buildings, but you guys are not coming. In some instances, yes, they do come on board. In some instances, they do not come on board, which means that our victims are not going to get the assistance that they need. And I think Honorable Sifo has already touched on the issue of access to these shelters. There's nothing that's going to assist if the shelter is in town and the person stays in a rural area, which means that actually we just have a building in town, but we cannot access it. The person has to look for transport to go there. And in the meantime, there's nowhere that the victim can go, especially in rural areas where we find that victims find themselves being bulldozed by family members to say, you need to stick it out. Certain things you have to stick out. So if the shelters could be availed, especially in locations, especially in rural areas, because there's no way that you can have a shelter in town and then Amuntu's Lalini cannot have access to it. For now, those are my only concerns, Chair, and thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Mjobo? Not sure whether... Oh, okay. Thank you.
Can I speak? Hello, Chair, can I speak?
Yes, please continue, Honorable Mjobo.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. And I'd like to welcome the report. And also, I want to accept the recommendation done by the commission to support those recommendations. One clarity or question on the presentation. There was a one thing that they report to us today that they didn't go to social development to get the report. They give us the report from they get the report from the social media. So I want to know why they didn't go to social development to get the report. Otherwise, thanks, Chairperson, for the.
Thank you, Honorable Mjobo, and to all the members that have raised question. I would also like to add my voice in appreciating this detailed report that we have received. As much as there has been some work, but it is clear that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is still not complying with some of the recommendations that you had in your investigation. That is the first observation that I've made. The second observation is that I think much collaborations needs to be done. I hear that you saying that the Department of Public Works and the Department of Social Development need to interact with each other and ensure that these safe homes are identified. But you can see that there are still gaps there, or maybe more strengthening needs to be done. The reality is that as this portfolio committee, as Honorable Sekgolo raised it earlier on, we have said it so many times when it comes to the properties that in, especially in some of the towns that we're coming from as different members of this portfolio committee, there are properties that are abandoned, properties that are now used by criminals, properties that we have asked the department to donate either to municipalities or to other departments. I think it would have been proper if those properties should have been donated to the Department of Social Development for these safe homes. We have seen the state of safe homes in many areas just recently, because we do have constituent offices in Manfred, the safe home there that is providing a shelter for the victims of GBV for the entire Alfred Zo region. One, it's in a location or a village, if you can say it, as Lalini. It's clear that it's a building that was built by the community. Yes, maybe at some point social development came in and did the fencing, but it's a building that has doors that are not properly safe. The furniture is in another state because it's the community that is donating furniture. So you have such situations when you have buildings either in Manfred, Mount Elif, Matatiel, Mbizana, Tabankulu, that are properties owned by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure that are not utilized. I think they would have been better than the state of the safe home that I visited. So we really appreciate this and hope that you will do more, maybe in ensuring that collaboration and also ensuring that the departments that are supposed to comply with the recommendations that you have sent are complying with them. I don't have a necessary a question, but it's just comments from my side. Thank you so much. Over to you, Acting CEO.
Chairperson, thank you so much, and honorable members to the questions. I will start with the first questions around the report that was, whether the report was submitted by the Department of Public Works. The report was submitted, honorable member. We can make the report available. It was part of the progress report that was provided to us by the Department of Public Works. In as far as Forgeville is concerned, our understanding, Chairperson, is that it is under Gauteng, not necessarily Northwest. So we take note of that. It is actually Northwest, I mean Gauteng rather. Then the issue of security at shelters. Chairperson, this is quite a sensitive and very serious issue that we have picked up. So in our inspection in locals, I won one of those team members that went there, and we said we just want to go to just see right from the gate before you even enter, what is the treatment that you are going to get? And we went there with unidentified cars and we just walked there, and then we engaged security guards. And I remember with the team, we said, we want to just see who do you have here and so forth. And first and foremost, the language that the security personnel use just at an entrance alone is very discouraging. It is disappointing. It's upsetting also, because it says to us, these people that are guarding the survivors of GBV, they have not been properly vetted by social development, for them to be there. The manner in which they demean and degrade, you know, the women in particular that are admitted at these shelters, it's very problematic. They talk so loosely. They look at survivors as potential sexual partners as well, and which says to us, then there's that room or risk of even security guards committing sexual harassment or worse, raping some of the survivors that have been admitted there because they are not properly vetted. So just from a language, it is they don't have a gendered language in our view, and it's very much problematic. Because Chairperson, if you genuinely appreciate the trauma and the agony that survivors of GBV go through, you'll understand that that is a very sensitive space. You need people who have an in-depth understanding of how to handle, you know, women particularly and children who have been subjected to these heinous offenses. So if you're not even vetting them, it means they themselves may end up committing secondary victimization to the survivors there. So that is one aspect. Some of them don't actually even have proper protective equipment. They use pepper sprays. So if somebody really comes there, as we've seen in one of the matters, I think it was in Mpumalang, where the survivors, or rather the perpetrators, came there with guns, it means the security personnel right there will not actually be able to assist in any way because they only have a pepper spray. So that is the risk that still we see in terms of security. When we look at the overall walls, some of them don't even have electric fence, and therefore it's still problematic. If you go to the Free State in particular, there's absolutely no safety whatsoever in terms of the shelter. You can literally walk in because they're just using a fence. So the issue of security, honorable member, I'll agree with you. It remains a consistent, continuous issue that we say as DSD needs to address. But we have raised it in those shelters where we felt that the standard was so poor that we needed urgent intervention. So I know that in the Free State, processes had commenced with our provincial office to really look at those shelters to ensure that safe security is very heightened in that regard. But it's an issue that, Chairperson, it needs a concerted effort from DSD, South African Police Service, and all other role players. Because the understanding is that those who are admitted there, these are potential witnesses. These are witnesses, you know, to heinous offenses that degraded many victims in this country. And we know that their testimony may actually mean somebody is going to get multiple life sentences. And with that understanding, if people know the whereabouts of some of these potential witnesses, it's not really comforting to see the state of security at this particular facilities. That is why we agree that even in terms of our discussions, that we don't share the exact locations of some of the shelters because for safety reasons, because we know how some of the perpetrators are using this information to try to get hold of certain persons that they are looking for. So security, Chairperson, remains an issue that we continue to engage DSD, especially where the standard is way below the anticipated one. The next question is around teenage mothers that are being abused by their parents. And also, I think towards the end, Honorable Member, the question was, is it possible to have a desk for teenage mothers or a shelter for teenage mothers? I think it's something Honorable Member, we need to all of us contribute towards and say, is this feasible? I'm saying this because from a principal point of view, I will agree with you. I will agree with you because I think my commissioner is here. She can even talk more about her experience with teenage pregnancy, because that's her forte. But from a procedure point of view, I agree with you. This is something that needs urgent attention. Just last week, when we were in the Eastern Cape, as the CGE, we visited various hospitals there. And we found, amongst others, that we have 10-year-olds who are pregnant. You have 11-year-olds that are pregnant. We have teenage mothers in various hospitals sharing maternity beds and all of that. And some of them are reluctant to even go home because they don't want to experience the abuse by parents and all of that. So it's an issue that, as the CGE, we are privy to. We know the extent in which the teenage mothers are going through. And to the extent that at times they even commit suicide. And we know that also one of the challenges that the identification of the perpetrators who impregnate these teenage mothers remains a challenge thus far. The reporting and the successful prosecution remains a challenge because it's often underreported or who the perpetrators are. But it remains an issue that Chairperson, it's very problematic. But the shelters, thus far, they do accommodate teenagers, and they have supporting programs, and they also have spaces where it's family orientated, and they're able to cater for even children and mothers and so. There was only a discriminatory clause that we were not happy with as the CGE, because they only allowed mothers with children, particularly girl children, up I think the age of 10 or 12. But when it comes to boy children, that was not applicable. And we felt that on its own is discriminatory, because what is the distinction between a 14-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy? You know, so that clause that they had in different shelters where they say, as a mother, you are not allowed to have a boy child over this age, we found it to be unreasonable, unjustified, and could not pass the constitutional muster. So it's from that premise that we have recommended that they must remove a clause of that nature and allow children to be there, irrespective of their gender. And because if you are running away, truly speaking, you are running away 1 a.m. somewhere in the rural remote areas. The last thing you think about when you get to a shelter, it's the age of your child. You just want your child to be protected. So it said to us, there is no shared understanding of the agony and the trauma that women go through, especially those who are with children. You know, so the DSD had that clause, and we were able to recommend its removal so that we can admit children without any prejudice whatsoever. And we went into SFAST. The good thing about this investigation is that we are not relying on third information on this one. We went into some of these facilities. We were able to inspect the shelters. We would see the playgrounds there. We can see the toys. We can see everything that, at least from a family orientation point of view, is reassuring that even the children themselves, they will not feel that we are somewhere in an island or we are in some prison. And so, as some would say, but you genuinely feel that you are at home. So we were able to inspect that. So we are comfortable with that in terms of that. But there's still room for improvement here. I'm saying so, honorable members, because here we're talking about state shelters. Our investigation also looked into the private shelters, because when the state is not able to provide, which it ought to be, you have those that says we will provide private shelter, and we visited those. These are just people who, some of them, they're just using their own monies just to accommodate survivors of GBV and so forth. And it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable because they do not have the necessary capacity to really deal fully with survivors of GBV in that regard. You know, so you're just accommodating somebody, but how you capacitate them, how you prepare them, how you counsel them is an area that is still lagging when you look at those that are providing shelters from their own accord and so forth. So it remains a challenge. And more reason why the Department of Public Works needs to come with other institutions to really prioritize this issue Of course, there is a gap, as I've identified, between social development and the public works in as far as this area is concerned. But if, again, everybody understands the significance and the importance of having shelters in place, we have to understand that there has to be that deliberate, concerted effort from all real players in as far as that issue is concerned. There was a question, Chairperson, around why we didn't go to DSD and we had to rely on a media article. Chairperson, we are a constitutional body, and often is often misunderstood by even state institutions. One of the common challenges we have is that they don't report adequately, you know, but the reality is that they have a duty to report to us and not the other way around. And we have issued recommendations. They ought to be coming to us and say, this is how far we have gone. So I want to accept, Chairperson, that that is on their side. They have neglected to provide us with that recommendation or other progress. But we do know that towards the end, we were able to get a comprehensive report that gave us assurance that there is at least movement in terms of cooperating and providing the necessary shelters. But our concern to this committee is there's a slow pace. There's a slow pace of issuing those unused buildings for shelters. It's not moving in the pace that we desire, especially in a country where we know GBV is the pandemic that we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis. There should be expediency on the side of the department. We are therefore requesting the portfolio committee, in whatever way, if there's a way in which we can expedite these processes, a cooperation and with the departments, we will welcome that. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because the achievement of having unimpeachable shelters in the country requires a concerted effort from all of us, including the CGE, including the portfolio committees, and the department and social development, because those that are in the receiving end of this violence desperately need us to work together in that regard. I will ask then, Chairperson, my Chairperson, I see she wants to add one or two, and then I'll leave it there. I think I'll stop here, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Matotoka. Chair, can I come in there?
Yes, Advocate.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair and honorable members, I just wanted to reiterate on the issue of family-based shelters to say the challenge is quite big, because teenage boys tend to be barred from some of the shelters because of their age, but these are the same teenage boys who at the age of 18 are actually removed from children's homes. So the likelihood of a 16 and a half or 17 and a half year old boy finding a shelter are very limited. And yet going to a children's home, I meant to say, are very limited. And yet you have shelters that say, no, we cannot have those teenage boys that are almost adults. So we have a pool of young boys who are actually being actively rejected by society by putting hurdles because of their age and their gender. And it's something bigger than just at shelters. Like I say, at children's homes, they are actually asked to leave. So we need a comprehensive approach. For example, where we have basic education, higher education, DSD, and other people coming together to say, how do we create a building catchment for these young boys, even if it means they stay up to matric at the children's home or at the shelter, and then afterwards they get prioritized for NSFAS, because at the end of the day, it's about assisting them to break away from poverty and ultimately assisting the family. So we have young men who are being rejected from all angles, and sometimes we wonder where this anger is coming from or what is happening, when we have boys who are made to feel you know, you don't fit in because of your gender and even your age. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Advocate and Acting CEO, on these responses that further explain what is currently happening. I don't know whether Honorable Siwisa, this is a legacy hand or a follow-up.
It's a follow-up, Chair. Chair,
Honorable Siwisa, let me invite all the follow-ups so that I also allow others, if they would like to do follow-up questions. Honorable members, for all those that would like to have follow-up questions. Honorable Siwisa?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to check when we come to security at shelters, are there actually CCTV rooms where continuous monitoring can happen, whereby if somebody, I don't even think, because already there's the question of that the security is not adequate enough. So I just want to check if there may be there CCTV cameras that are being, or rooms that are being monitored to avoid perpetrators actually getting, like passing through the gates and actually getting into the premises. And if there are none, then it means that we are at a lost cause. We are going to forever have perpetrators that have access. And it's very worrying, Chair, that some of us, we don't even know where these shelters are, but for some reason, these abusers know where these shelters are, which means that we also have a concern of security from the same people that are supposed to be protecting these people. I get the feeling that if us as members of parliament, we only know a few because we went and did a oversight in those places, we only know them because maybe the family would tell us that, no, this person is at this place and whatever, or we were involved actually in the case and we managed to get a place. But for a perpetrator or an abuser to actually know the location, it means that, to me, this is my opinion, Jay, it means that this is an inside job. As the presenter has just alluded, that at the entrance, only at the entrance, the security guards, already they've got an attitude. It says to you, they can even sell the information to say, patient one or victim 1, 2, 3, 4 is here with us, because I think the recommendation that has been done to say that these people need to be vetted, to know that you are playing with people's lives. So you cannot discuss a case of a victim with your family members, because you'll be put in the danger, because there is a tendency of a person comes to me and tells me that I was raped and everything, and I go around spreading the her stories and everything. So it's a concern for me, Chair, and I fully agree that everyone or anyone that's supposed to be part of security towards victims needs to be thoroughly vetted. They must know what they are getting themselves into. If it can even go to an extent of taking an oath, it must just not be, we need security guards, they must come in, and there's a tender that goes out to say a company can come and bid on the tender, we need security guards. This one needs to be treated in another way. It also takes us even in hospitals, that people need to be vetted, because you are guarding lives of people. People have been removed from a certain environment to be brought into a certain environment whereby they need to be safe, they need to feel safe, they need to feel that they are at home without being discriminated. So maybe Chair must check CCTV rooms. That do any of these shelters actually have CCTV rooms to monitor the perimeters of the shelter? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. In the absence of other I hand over to you, Chair. Advocate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not sure if there are any other comments from our side, but I just wanted to add that maybe even this committee could assist us in insisting on specialized contracts for security companies at the DPW buildings, because what normally happens is a generic security company gets employed. A lot of them, we don't even know if they're South African. We don't even know if they understand the nature of the work of that a key point that they are overseeing. So it's important that DPW starts factoring in some of the specifics that they need for some of the buildings. You know, when somebody goes to hospital, at least they need to be able to have a certain sensitivity, etc. And also link of shelters with other duty bearers like SAPs. It's important that maybe the house mother or somebody or the social worker knows at least one person at the local SAPS offices, so that if there is any emergency, they can quickly dial them and that person will respond quickly. A lot of the shelters don't necessarily have a relationship with police officers, and it's actually worrying that if there is no relationship, there will be a delay in responding to a call to say, please help us, this is what is happening. Lastly, we have found that both shelters that are privately run and shelters that are even funded by DSD are very small. It's normally houses, etc. So the average, or the high medium average, would be 20 people at a time. So the impact is small. If you look at a place like Gauteng, where you have about 10 million people, the impact is very small. If you are going to have, let's say, 20 shelters, all of them accommodating between 20 and 15, you're looking at about 400 people in all of Gauteng. So there needs to be a revisiting of the use of government buildings for optimal impact and guidance from the committee in terms of how the department can use them. Some of the buildings that now we have found are actually hijacked are government buildings. You know, a typical one is the latest, where 77 people died, 80 Albert Street. That used to be Pass Office a few years ago. Those would have been places that, you know, if you're talking about 10 floors or whatever, that would have been helpful to alleviate the pressure. So I think DPW needs to go back to the drawing board and say, where are the buildings, which one would form more impact? You know, like I say, if you're going to have a bus office with 10 offices, with 10 floors, and it was hijacked, then something is wrong. So I'm just appealing to the committee to help us to push the department in the right direction in terms of optimal utilization of the buildings. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson?
Yes,
on the issue of CCTV footages, in our inspection, we did find that there are shelters with and there are those that without CCTV footages. We have recommended that the department, social development, have an intersectoral shelter policy for victims of crime and violence, so that policy can be uniform across, and then ensure that those entities all have the same set of security standards across. But so far, we are not getting adequate progress on that. But it's an area that we believe that if we can have a uniform standard across all shelters, we will be able to have clear guidelines or criteria for vetting for security personnel and dealing with the risks across institutions consistently, that should be done. So far, not all of these shelters have CCTV footages. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, Commissioner Ngoma Diseko would like to come in around the issue of teenage pregnancy, if you will allow us. Thank you.
Yes, Advocate, Commissioner is allowed.
Go ahead, Commissioner Ngoma Diseko. Thank you, Chair. I think she got cut or something. Oh, I think she must be muted. Oh.
Is she in the meeting?
Yes, she is in the meeting. I don't know if she's unmuted or... Yes, she's unmuted now. I don't know why she's not coming through. Okay. We'll allow her later through you, Chairperson. You can go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, Advocate Mukhale, acting CEO, Dr. Matotoka, and all the other commissioners that are part of the meeting and the delegation. I don't know, I can hear there is a voice there. Are you in a right position now, Commissioner, to speak?
Okay. No, I think it was me trying to get hold of her. Don't worry, Chairperson, thank you. We'll alert you when you get hold.
Okay. We really appreciate this report that you have presented to us today as the Portfolio Committee. It is also assisting us as the Portfolio Committee on how to deal with this issue when we deal with the department on its report. We all know that the department made commitments. Yes, it was the previous minister, not this minister, but it's the same department. So we need to see those commitments need to be realized. We feel that as the committee in the issues that have been raised by members and in the challenge that you have also raised, Chairperson of the Commission, that sometimes we push away the boy child, and in the ultimate end, we have a boy child that is committing crime, that has anger issues because of a safe home that didn't accommodate that boy child. So I think it is proper this need for shelters or safe homes that are non-discriminatory when it comes to gender, that will include all children from all genders, be part of what you would advocate for. Two, we have seen several times where a victim is in a safe home. I think Honorable Siwisa has been raising this, and the perpetrator would be able to go to that safe home and further harm the victim because there are no surveillance cameras. I think it must also be written down also that a safe home need to have all the proper security features, security guards that are armed sometimes, security cameras to ensure that no one can come to that safe home and further harm the victims. I think we all know how the crime rate has escalated in our country. So even those safe homes are not safe. And then there is a need to ensure that those safe homes are safe. Lastly, as the portfolio committee, I think this we can assure you, the issues that you have raised, you will raise them with the department, because we believe that there are many properties that can be utilized as shelters. And to us as the portfolio committee, we also believe that those properties have not yet been utilized. If you can see, as I mentioned earlier on, that you have a region, a district that has four municipalities, local municipalities, but there is only one safe home. And that shelter is in rural areas. It is not properly maintained. All the people that are there, they are on a stipend from EPWP. Even the security guard there, you just took someone to be the security, not trained. There is no proper security in that area. So these things, they need to be done, because we really want those people that are there to at least to heal from what they have experienced. But if they are further put in places that have a potential of taking them back to the places that where they are coming from, I think we are not doing enough. So as the portfolio committee, will take all the recommendation, especially those that affect the public works and infrastructure, and raise with them when we have a meeting with them. But I think you will all agree with me when I say that when it comes to security, I think Advocate has mentioned this, some of the challenges, and acting CEO also mentioned the issue of vetting. I think we also need, as part of having security that is trained to deal with GBV centers. I think we need someone that is going to be sensitive, someone that is going to understand what the people that are staying there are going through. I think that one is very, very proper. And again, Advocate and your commissioners, acting CEO and the management, we really appreciate this presentation. It is really opening our eyes, and it is also confirming what we have raised as the portfolio committee many a times when we deal with the issue of properties, especially the abandoned properties. Our view as the portfolio committee is that those properties must either be given to municipalities or other departments to utilize them, other than those properties be left there abandoned and being dens of EE criminals where they plan and commit EE crime. So we are taking this, we will deal with it when we deal with the portfolio committee. And again, thank you, all the honorable members that contributed. I know that some members wanted to contribute, but they had challenges of network. We really appreciate all the contributions, hoping that the commission will take some of the comments that we have made, and we'll also take all the recommendations to the department. Thank you, Advocate Mukhale, and your delegation. We may allow you now to leave the meeting so that we continue with the second item, which Chair? Is the... Yes?
Chair? Can I have a request that I don't know which commissioner it is, pertaining the issue of teenage mothers and everything, if I can be provided with a contact number so that we can engage further on the issue. I don't know if it's possible.
What we can do, Honorable Sivisa, because she was to comment, but we couldn't get...
That's why I'm saying if I can be given our contact details, whether it's an email or contact numbers, and then we can engage further, because I could see that she's got a problem of actually commenting today.
Honorable Siwisa, as you know, that our acting secretary will request the conduct information of the commission, the acting CEO, and then that information will be shared with the portfolio committee. I think you will get that information.
Yeah. No, Dr. Thank you.
Thank you again, honorable members. Lwazi, can we go to the second item, which is the confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting? Thank you, Advocate Mukhale and your team.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorables.
Thank you so much.